Thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Corrington Cast, the official podcast of Corrington Church. Would you consider yourself blessed? And if so, why is it that God blesses you? You're listening to the first half of Dr. Rocky Ramsey's message called Blessed to Bless. In this message, we'll learn why God blesses us, what blessings are and where they come from, and what we're supposed to do with our blessings.
Years ago, I did a message called Pipes and Pots. And in that message, I talked about the fact that God wanted us to be pipes through whom his blessings flowed versus being pots to whom blessings flow. A great example of this is the Sea of Galilee. If you've ever been to Galilee, you'll understand this. If somebody just set you down there, you might think you were in Hawaii. Very green, lush. The Sea of Galilee is really a big lake. And in it, it's full of life. Water comes down from the mountains from the north. It flows out the Jordan River to the south. It is receiving and it is giving. It's a pipe. And in the Sea of Galilee is all this animal and plant life. But if you go on down the Jordan River to the bottom of it, it runs into the Dead Sea. If you ever get to go to the Dead Sea, you know, I was thinking dead is probably black looking and nasty. It's prettier aqua than the Caribbean. It's gorgeous. But it's dead. Why? Because it takes, but it never gives. And so it's primarily made up of salt. No matter how much you weighed, no matter if you had never swum in your life, is that a word, swim? If you've never had swimmed, maybe that's a more appropriate word, if you jumped into the Dead Sea, you'd float. You can't go under. And why is that true? Because it's dead. There's not a plant in it. There's not an animal in it. Well, why is it dead? Because it receives and it doesn't give. One is a giver, the Sea of Galilee, it's alive, full of life. The other receives, it keeps, and it's dead. Now, God intends for us to be pipes, not pots. If we choose to be pipes, God can increase the size of our pipe. So as we let him use us, he can use us more and more. He enlarges our capacity. Jesus said that if we would give, it would be given to us. He said that the amount we give determines the amount we receive. Now, most people are pots, not pipes. How many of you have heard of the 20-80 principle? It means 20% of something usually results in 80% of something. So, for example, in most churches, 20% of the people give 80% of the money. In most churches, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. How many of you have been to a potluck supper? You remember the potlucks? If you paid attention, you probably saw that 20% of the people ate 80% of the food, okay, right? It's the 20-80 principle. Well, I digress. You'll see in today's message that a lot of people who claim to believe the Bible really don't. And sometimes, like this morning, I'll do it not as strong as I have at other times. I'm going to challenge you to believe the Bible. Because I think it's a pitiful thing to claim to believe something you don't really believe. To claim to live for something that you don't really believe in. We don't believe what we say we believe. We believe what we actually believe. And what we actually believe, we live out. We show. People want to make the Bible a pot book where all of God's goodies flow down to and are for us. The Bible's not a pot book. It's a pipe book. And we are blessed so that we can bless others. So I'm calling this message, Blessed to Bless. In your outline, first of all, number one, we belong to God. We belong to God as believers. The average person sitting in the average pew in the average church this morning doesn't understand this at all. He's been told he could pray a prayer, he could make or ask Jesus to be a savior, and then he could live pretty much however he pleased the rest of his life and still go to heaven. Well, the Bible doesn't teach this, but all kinds of preachers preach this. If he's in a new and cool seeker-friendly church, he probably believes that God exists to serve him rather than the other way around, because that's what sells best with lost and selfish people. You want to fill a room up, just keep telling everybody that all God exists for is to make you happy, solve all your problems, and give you everything you want because it's about you. Well, it's not. God doesn't exist for us. We exist for Him. Look at these verses. Colossians 1:16, by Him all things were created. All things have been created through Him and for Him. You were created for Him, not for your mate, not for your kids, not for your parents, for Him. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. That pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? That means everything is His. Everything, everybody. We are His because of creation. Number two, or second, or next verse you have there in your outline, sorry, is 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And watch this, and that you are not your own? That's the essence of the Christian life. I am not mine anymore. God, I am His because He created me, and now I am His because He saved me. Jesus died on the cross, paid a price, which He goes on to say, for you have been bought with a price. The essence of the Christian life is that I am no longer mine. I made a conscious decision that I would be His, and now I am His. That's what it means to be a Christian. We're His because of salvation. He saved us. If you're His, you're no longer yours. If yours, your time, talents, and money aren't His, then you're not His. You're still yours. If you are a true believer, then you belong to Him. You are His now, not yours. So we belong to God. Number two, we are blessed by God. We are blessed by God. Whether we recognize or acknowledge it, God is the source of who we are and what we have. Under that, I've got to think four things. Number one, He is the source of our lives. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. God made you. He's giving you life right now. When He stops giving you life, you're done. That's why we can't add any time to our life, the Bible tells us. We can subtract time from our life, but we can't add any. God is the source of our lives. Number two, He is the source of our abilities. Our abilities. In Exodus chapter 36, verse 1, God is telling Moses to build a tabernacle. And He gives him all this elaborate detail of what it means. It'll require works of gold, works of silver, tapestries being made, all kinds of stuff. And of course, Moses is thinking, well, who in the world am I going to get to do this? We've been a bunch of slaves for 400 years. Exodus 36, 1, God says, every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work. In other words, God's telling him, everything you need done, there's somebody who can do it. The reason I know is I made them to do it and put it in them. They're able to do what you need. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. It's given to him. He's the source of our abilities. God gave you your aptitudes and your abilities. He gave you your mind. He gave you your determination. You can do what you can do because He made you able to do it. I'll say that again. You can do what you can do because He made you able to do it. Had He not made you able to do it, you couldn't do it. When I played basketball, I had never dunked a ball. I was never, well, I did on small goals, but never on 10-foot goal. I didn't have that kind of leap. And you know why? Because God didn't make me able to do it. No matter how badly I wanted to do it, no matter how much I practiced and tried to do it, I couldn't do it because God didn't make me to do it. Does this make sense? But everything I can do because He made me to do it. Does this make sense? He's the source of our abilities. Jot down and listen to 1 Corinthians 4:7. 1 Corinthians 4:7. Who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? The reason you are who you are, have what you have, can do what you can do is because God made you able for all of that. Now here's number three. He's the source of our resources. He's the source of our resources. You have what you have because God has enabled you to have it. You have what you have because God has enabled you to have it. If you have a lot, I hope it's dawned on you that everybody doesn't. Everybody hasn't been enabled to have that. There's a big article about Elon Musk. Well, not a big article, but an article about Elon Musk in today's paper and the Babylon Bee interviewing him. Elon Musk is worth, I think, $271 billion, richest man in the world. For whatever reason, God enabled him to make more money at this point in the game than anybody else in the world. You're only able to earn what God has enabled you to earn. So you ought to be grateful, not prideful. Look at Deuteronomy 8:18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth. You say, but I worked hard. What did you work with? What God gave you. I made good decisions. What did you make those good decisions with? What God gave you. I took advantage of the opportunities. Guess who gave you the opportunities? God. So why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 12. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen. He is the source of our resources. Like the length of our lives, we can live shorter lives than we were intended to, but we can't live longer. In the same way, God has enabled us differently to earn different amounts. And we can earn less than that, but you're never going to earn more than that. He's the source of your resources. Now here's number four. He's the source of every blessing we have. Every blessing we have. Look at James 1:17. Every good thing. Now in the Greek, the word every means every. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. So think of everything that's wonderful in your life and guess why you have it. Because there's this good God who loves you, who's blessed you with that. He's the source of all our blessings. Not some of them, not most of them, all of them. All of us can be less than we were intended to be, but none of us can be more than we were intended to be. And that he allows us to be. None of us have overachieved. You can't overachieve. All you can do is achieve what he made you able to achieve. You can underachieve all day long, but you can't overachieve. God is the source of our lives, our abilities, our resources, and all of our blessings. The more that most people achieve and have, the more proud they tend to be of themselves. Look what I've done. The truth is, the more you achieve and have, the more humbled you ought to be because the more blessed you are. If I did it, look at how great I am. If God did it, look at how great he is. Now, there's a great story talks about thinking that we should get the glory for what we accomplish. It's found in Acts 12, 21 to 23. Don't turn there, but write it down. Acts 12, 21, 23. Listen as I read it. On an appointed day, Herod, this was Herod Agrippa the First, having put on his royal apparel, took his seat on the rostrum and began delivering an address to them. The people kept crying out, "The voice of a God and not a man." And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and died. Isn't that a great story? Now, how many of you know somebody who needs a good worm job? You think, well, that guy, he needs a good worm job. That'd take him off his high horse, wouldn't it? In Revelation chapter 4, the 24 elders sit on 24 thrones wearing crowns. In verses 10 to 11, you know what they do? They cast all those crowns at the feet of Jesus and worship him. Why? Because they understand that everything they ever were, everything they ever had, everything they ever did, he deserved the glory, not them. You see it? He's the source of all of our blessings. Now they're back at the outline. Not only do we belong to God and been blessed by God, number three, we've been blessed to bless others. We've been blessed to bless others. God gives to us so that we can give to others, not just so we can have. He blesses us so that we can bless others, not just so that we can be blessed. He does for us, not just so we can be done for, but so that we can do for others. Now, I'm going to prove this. I'm going to make this infinitely clear to you this morning. Look at these verses. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, notice what you're able to do is something that's been given to you. You've received it. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What he's saying is, I'm going to give you gifts. I'm not giving you these gifts just for you. I'm giving you these gifts so you can serve others with these gifts. You're blessed to bless. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each one is given the man spirit. Why? For the common good. Again, I'm going to bless you so you can bless others. The gifts God gives us are for the good of others, not for our self-aggrandizement. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction. Well, why does he do that? Just so we can be comforted? No. He goes on to tell us, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. He comforts you so that you'll become a comforter. He gives to you so you'll be a giver. He gives you gifts so that you can help others with those gifts. He wants you to be a pipe, not a pot. Look at 1 Kings 3:28. The wisdom of God was in him, Solomon. Why? To administer justice. Solomon didn't get wisdom just so he could be the wise guy, so he could write a column for the newspaper. He was given wisdom so that he could administer justice. Not so he could be rich and famous, but so that others would benefit from his life. And by the way, the value of your life is determined by how many other people benefit from it. I'll say that again. The value of your life is determined by how many other people benefit from it. And if nobody else is benefiting from your life, it ain't worth much. But if they are, it's worth a lot. I put this in your outline. When God does something for me or in me, it is so that he can do something through me. When God does something for me or in me, so he can do something through me. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:15 and then 18. He, Jesus, died for all so that they who live, those born again, might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Verse 18 says, God reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you see it? Jesus didn't die for you just so you could be forgiven, miss hell, and go to heaven one day. He died for you so that you would live, do something for him, which includes serving others. God reconciled us to himself, not just so we could be reconciled, but so that he could put us into the reconciling people to God business. You see it? He didn't just reconcile you to be reconciled. He reconciled you so you could help him reconcile others. He did something for you and in you because he wants to do something through you. He didn't just save you for you. He saved you for what he could do through you for others. Now turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to read verses 34 to 40. This is the parable of the sheep and goats. Starting in verse 34. Are you ready? Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In other words, welcome to heaven. And then he adds this, verse 35. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you something to eat? Or when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And then verse 40, the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it for one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, I want to say especially the least of them, you did it to me. Welcome to heaven. Now let me tell you why you're here. Let me tell you how you got here. Don't miss this. And so he tells them what they had done with what he had given to them. They didn't realize they were doing it. When do we do this for you? How do you love a God you can't see? You love people that you do see that he loves and died for. And every time you do that, you love him. You want to love me? Love my wife or kids or grandkids. I feel loved like crazy. You want to love God? Love people he loves and Christ died for, and God will feel love from you. But you can't love him. You can't hug him. You can't do for him directly. We do for others. And when we do for others, Jesus said, when you do for others, even people you don't think matter, you've done it to me. Here we see that one definite thing about people who made it to heaven was that they blessed others with their blessings. They did something for others. They sacrificed something for others. Food, drink, clothes, time. They gave their time to and for others. We have been blessed to bless others. Now, I want you to keep your finger there, and I want you to turn to 1 Timothy 6. Because I want to be true to Scripture, so I need to kind of balance this a little bit. I need you to understand what I'm about to tell you. You can hear what I'm saying, and then all of a sudden you feel bad or guilty for being blessed. You know, well, gosh, I've been so blessed, I feel bad now. God doesn't want you to feel bad when you get blessed. He wants you to feel blessed when you bless. But he wants you to do something with your blessings. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, read verses 17 to 19. And there Paul says, instruct those who are rich in the present world, the blessed, not to be conceited. Why not? Because God is the source. He's the reason they have all that. If he hadn't enabled them to have that, they wouldn't have that. So don't be conceited. Or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. But on God, watch this, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. You see it? He blesses you with those things to enjoy. So if you can drive a really, really nice car, it's not a sin to do that. If you can afford two, you could give me one. And I could drive a really, really nice car. You understand? It's not a sin to be blessed. So many of the characters in the Bible really were. Job was the richest man in the world. So was Solomon. Abraham was fabulously rich. Most of them were. There's nothing wrong with money, having money. There's just something wrong whenever any money has you. And how do you know it has you? When you won't give it. When you sit on it. When you become selfish with it. And then it becomes your enemy, at least spiritually. So, but I just want you to know, if God blesses you, be blessed. Have a nice house, drive a nice car, but don't stop there. He goes, he says, so he wants us to enjoy our blessings. But then he goes on, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Why? Why be rich in good works? Because it is when you do it, you're storing up for yourselves treasure of a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Giving lays up treasure in heaven where we will reap for eternity what we sowed in time. I won't tell you that again. We reap for eternity what we've sown in time. Giving is how we take hold of that which is life indeed. If you're not a generous giving person, you're not taking hold of that. You're missing out on this life God made you for. The good life, how would you describe it? See, in our world, most people, the good life is having all this stuff. Be able to do all these things because we got money. That's the good life. Jesus would say, that's not the good life. The good life is being able to give and bless others. That's the good life. Take hold of that which is life indeed. Now here's number four. We get blessed when we bless others. We get blessed when we bless others. God originally wired us up to be givers. We're created in his image. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. That's who he is. It's his nature. It was our nature until Adam and Eve sinned. And then all of a sudden, it went backwards on us. And now we became self-serving and selfish. In Acts 20, verse 35, Paul quotes a verse, quotes a statement by Jesus that's not recorded in the Gospels. In Acts 20, 35, and he says that Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than receive." Try to convince a little kid of this. I wouldn't advise it, but any adult ought to get this. Doesn't it feel good to make others feel good? If you don't know the answer to that question, you ought to try it. It feels great to do something for somebody, bring them joy, bring them peace, bring them relief. That's a wonderful thing to do something. And when we do something to make somebody else feel good, guess what? We feel great. Why? Because we're wired up that way. We're wired up to be givers. And when we give, we feel more blessed than when we get. One of the best examples is our Christmas party. We give all this stuff to these disadvantaged strangers. They get gifts, necessities, food, etc. But who gets the greater blessing? We do. We're the ones that give all the stuff, and we end up blessed more than them, even though they live with a, you know, heaping pickup truck full of stuff. A lot of what Jesus teaches us is counterintuitive. We give up our lives to get life, his life. We die to ourselves to enjoy the best life we can have, to really live. We become great by serving. We are blessed more by giving than receiving. Look at what Jesus said in Luke 38. Give and it'll be given to you. Natural intuition says that the way to have more is to obtain and hold on to it.
If you enjoyed today's message, we want to invite you to join us live this Sunday morning. We have a special production called Coryton Live. It's built just for you. So tune in live at coryton.online.church. Again, thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Coryton Cast, the official podcast of Coryton Church. If you have any questions at all, visit us online at CorytonChurch.com or drop us a message or comment on social media. We're at Coryton Church. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we pray God's richest blessings on your life. Give us a rating, hit subscribe, and have a fantastic day.